Well, what's interesting is, well, I think what the Chocolate Drops have learned, and definitely what I've learned, is that, you know, we were just being interviewed for a documentary, and they were asking us about, you know, did the blacks and the white musicians talk to each other and all this, and, you know, who owns this music? And I think what's so interesting is that, you know, in North Carolina, maybe it was a special place, but there was an awful lot of black and white interaction. And I like to say that a third of the repertory is from the black side, and a third of the repertory is from the white side, and a third of the repertory is from the outside. You know, there are things that came in through Tin Pan Alley and through published material and such, and mixed together. And as Joe Thompson has often said, I'm sure you've heard him say this, Justin, that he said, when they played for these are dance tunes, and when they played for dancing, he said the white folks called it square dancing, and the black folks called it frolicking, but the music and the dancing was just the same.
That's right.
Yeah. But I mean, you guys have kind of added your own twist to it, you know, using like the jug, which, you know, I mean, is that was just that's an artistic choice, or is the jug pretty common in African American music or in Southern string music?
Well,
or?
in some of them it was.
No, well, it's not so much in a that. Because it's kind of a weird question. It's kind of a weird question.
So give me a weird answer.
Well, I mean, there were there are the jug bands that were recorded, and the jug, I mean, serves as a function as a bass instrument. So it kind of fit in the stuff with Joe, because when I first started going down there, I was going to play guitar because there was the fiddle and the banjo, and I couldn't figure out how to make the guitar sound right in the context of the fiddle and banjo. Because, I mean, that's a common thing, is that when you have fiddle and banjo music, there's a certain rhythm, and then a lot of times when you play guitar with it, the guitar, you know, either won't mesh, or it changes the, you know, the banjo and the fiddle change their rhythm to fit that.
Or it's completely superfluous.
I
mean, sometimes it is.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is.
You don't need a guitar. And
they never played with a guitar player back in Joe's generation or in his father's generation.
No, not at all.
Right.
And it's so the jug, I just picked it up because I'd been playing for several years, learning from first the Jim Kweshkin and the Even Dozen and, you know, those 60s jug bands, and then taking it farther back and then adding my own. And in terms of artistic influence, the way that I hit notes, I think Mingus when I'm thinking jug. That's what's in my head, even though I'm blowing through a jug. And so, that's what I'd say. But
our whole thing is that we're not. It's like we don't listen to the recording, say of like Joe and Odell, his cousin who he played with, and try to copy that. We just go down, we play with Joe, and the jugs seem to work, and it fit the integrity of the music from our opinion. So that's kind of what we're doing, because we can't reproduce Joe's music because we didn't grow up with Joe. We didn't spend 20 years playing with Joe, you know. And so we can just go from where we're coming from, which is playing with him right now, and, you know, being where we are right now, and just hopefully taking the spirit of it forward and making it as we do. And in the spirit of that cross, kind of across black and white lines or whatever, this tune that we're going to do now, it's called Jack of Diamonds, and I learned it from a recording of Hobart Smith. That's all there is to say about that. Oh, and in A, the key of A, this also brings in that we always talk about black and white, but we kind of forget about the native influence on stuff, and there's a lot of that in North Carolina and all over the South. And
Cherokee. Love Cherokee, and all that.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of tribes, there's lots of mix, especially black and Indian. There's a lot of mixing, you know, and a lot of people calling themselves one thing or the other, but really being the same gene pool and a lot of the same experiences. Because my family is one of those areas, so I know all about it. I used to do some powwow singing, and so that's the kind of vocal quality that I'm kind of throwing on this a little bit, so I seem to work with it. It only works when we do it in A, though.
Well, one of the things after the gathering with this particular tune is one of the first times that the four of us in our contingency of people, the three of us and another fellow named Sule, we got together and we played this, and it was a really powerful tune for us. So we'll play it for you now.